Republicans did more than sweep Democrats out of the White House this election. They rose to power at many state capitals. Next year, 31 states will have a state house trifecta. That means one party will control the governor's office and the majority in both the state house and Senate, and 25 of those trifectas belong to Republicans. Julia Hurst leads the National Lieutenant Governors Association, which works with elected officials from both parties. And Julia, you've got a new trifecta there where you are in Kentucky. The GOP won control of the state legislature for the first time since 1920. Big change there. What do you expect lawmakers to get to work on?
I think that lawmakers are always excited when there is a one-party control or certainly a path that they can see to set priorities and pass legislation. But unlike Congress, states have a balanced budget requirements. 49 of the states are required to pass a balanced budget. And that makes priority setting at the state level very different than what most folks are accustomed to and see the most news on in Congress.
So you're saying that a legislature that has that much party control doesn't necessarily have a blank check.
I think that's exactly right, Peter. On average, K through 12 education is the largest expense from any state's funds, and Medicaid is in second place, and it's continually growing. You get higher education next, and then, quite frankly, a big fall off to transportation and corrections as a share of the budget. So discretionary spending at the state level is limited, and I think it does hinder or make available a few less options for officials at the state level than you might see in Congress.
Well, as I said, across the country, 31 states now have trifectas. Let's just dig into some of those issues, though, because I know sometimes a legislative season has a theme to it that sort of resonates across the country. Will we be talking more about abortion in the state capitals? Will we be talking more about cutting taxes? These other Republican values that are held dear that maybe have more of a voice now?
I think certainly those issues will see some floor time, but there is, again, a limited amount of time for debate and moving the passage of the budget and other issues. There are also some, sadly, overriding issues in the states like the opioid crisis, which are going to demand floor time and action. You have opioids impacting health costs, the care and education of children. And I think states will also be waiting to see what comes out of Congress, specifically on the Affordable Care Act. So I think health care is going to be a number one issue across the board in all the states, with some of those other issues being on the deck, and you'll certainly hear about them, but I think they'll be a bit less in control of the floor time.
Is there a danger that a party will overstep their mandate when they have that much power, that they'll pass these laws and the public all of a sudden gets cold feet and thinks, well, geez, maybe we shouldn't have done that. We shouldn't have voted Republicans or Democrats into every part of the legislature.
I think that there are checks and balances throughout, and certainly each election cycle, just like Congress at the state level, there are staggered terms in both the House and the Senate. So certainly officials need to be in touch with their electorate. I think that happens a great deal more at the state level than you might see at perhaps a congressional level. For example, there are issues that will break down on, say, an urban-rural divide when states are grappling for which higher education opportunity is going to get the most funding. You may see Republicans and Democrats work together in a House or a Senate at the state level to get that money into their region, which would begin to override some of their partisan issues.
Hmm. Julia Hurst is the executive director of the National Lieutenant Governors Association. Julia, thank you.
Thank you.